How do I know if this is even working?
Ladies of the LLLLV.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. Or as long as you listen. Or really just whichever comes first or is better. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ladies of the LV, episode 17. Can't believe I'm 17 episodes in. You're already making noise.
I know. Did you see I was hesitant to move on the couch?
Yeah.
I know, and nobody can see me, but right now I'm like very stiff.
She's very tense. Loosen up. Chug your drink. Everything's fine. It's Friday Eve. I'm pretty excited about today's episode. I was just saying to who I'm about to introduce you to that I think this is the first time I have someone on my podcast that I don't ever like filter myself around. So I'm a little worried, but also excited because it's great. Okay, so I'm here to introduce you to Rachel Ann Butts. I don't know why I said your middle name.
I don't know either. Okay.
Rachel, welcome.
Hi, hello.
How are you feeling? Okay. You're making me feel awkward.
Good. That's what I'm good at.
You are. Okay, so Rachel and I have been friends. I always start with how I meet the person. We have been friends since 2010?
I'd say it like 2010 or 11. Yeah.
So we were performing together. Do you want to actually explain this? Because I feel like I've never heard your version of it when we got together.
Ron's really good at telling long stories, so mine's probably going to be a lot shorter than hers, but we basically were doing cast together. Mm-hmm. You came back and did Peter Pan, but I still didn't, like, we didn't interact that much when you did that. I knew you through my brother, but I think it was Willy Wonka when we really, like, I don't know, it was GGM. GGM.
Jim Gyro's Music.
Yep. Off of GTL, because Jersey Shore rocks.
Can you say what cast is? Because people don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Catasauqua Area Showcase Theater.
Yes. We're both from Catasauqua. If you're listening and you're from Caddy.
What up?
Yeah. What up and North Caddy rules.
I was from Caddy, so.
Whatever. So we started to go to the gym together, which is funny because we never work out together.
I mean, I pay for a gym.
Me too.
I don't go to a gym.
Same. And we actually really bonded when we found this bunny on the road.
Yes.
That was hit by a car. And I'm not going to tell this story. But basically, we bonded and we've been friends ever since. And we actually lived together for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It really feels like 2 because the last year I was like MIA.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were truly like the Rachel to my Monica. We were awesome roommates.
I'm ashamed to say I don't watch Friends. Like, I've watched episodes, but I don't know the storyline. So when people are like, I'm a Rachel, I'm a Monica, I'm like, okay, great. So, but I'm glad you feel that way.
I do. We were great roommates. And the part of the reason why I wanted to have Rachel on my podcast is because she's very wise. She has a lot of great advice for me always. She has beautiful things to say and share with the world. But I would say one of the things that I think really like drew me to you as a friend was how positive and confident you are with your body, which is something I wanted to talk to you about. Like, I just feel like one of the first times I met you, you're just like wearing bikinis, like not worried about like, you know, what you look like, but like, I love this bikini and I'm gonna wear it. You know?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay.
I may have a different take on it. I'm glad that's what my persona, like, what I put out to the world, because I think everybody should feel that way. But I think there's always insecurities, but.
Well, yeah, but I just feel like when I first met you, you were, like, dancing hardcore on a dance floor and people were, like, clearing the area because you were like, I'm about to fucking dance.
Well, we were naked and bald.
Y'all better move. Yeah, we have a weird obsession with being naked and bald. I don't know where it started, but we like legit wore bald caps and full nude body unitards to a party once, thinking it was the funniest thing. And I don't think anyone else found it funny.
I think they did in the beginning, but by the end of the night, as per usual with you and I, they were like, all right, like, go home.
Yeah. We also went into the bathroom of that party and turned everything upside down.
Oh, yeah.
We thought that was really funny, but they didn't.
No.
What was funny about that was crossing the street in unitards and bald caps.
And I think I had a backpack on. So there, and Converse sneakers.
Yeah.
And Converse sneakers and a backpack, yeah. But the rest of me looked naked.
I forgot about that. Okay, so where was that? What was I just talking about? Oh, body positivity. Do you not feel that way by yourself?
Some days, yes. Some days, no. I think, as you know, I've been doing a lot of work on my, like, nutrition and stuff this year. There was a point, I don't know if I ever told you this, but, like, before I started 2030, shameless shout out to 2030, you're awesome. It was, like, late last summer, I turned to Barry and I was like, I don't want to do this wedding. Like, let's just go to the courthouse, like, get it done. I was like, I don't want to put a dress on. I don't want to walk down the aisle. Just because I was at the heaviest that I was ever at. And it, like, wasn't going down. I was like, how much longer can I put on weight before, like, it turns into, like, an issue? So, but for the most part, I'd like to think that I do have a lot of confidence, but there's a lot of insecurities too. I will wear, I don't think I've ever worn like a one piece unless like I really wanted to. I don't know. I think you just need to be comfortable and love yourself, you know?
Yeah.
There's days when like I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, you look wretched today. But then like I try and change the conversation too. No, you're a badass warrior and you look great today.
Yes. I'm going to listen to that tomorrow. Okay, so in case you didn't catch that, Rachel is getting married in July.
Yeah.
And I actually was becoming friends with Rachel right around the time that she was really, I don't want to say like on a search for love, because it's not like I ever felt like you needed it. And Rachel bought her own house. She's always supported herself. She's a boss ass bitch. But I felt like when I first met you, you were really like on a dating kick, say. And a lot of the people that I met, I really did not like at all.
That's an understatement.
And I was very vocal about it. And in hindsight, I think maybe I probably wouldn't have been as vocal, because I feel like obviously you just needed to navigate that on your own. But Barry, her fiance, came along, and immediately I was like, yeah, finally, like, not a total asshole. And he actually lived with us. It was the three of us for a year.
We were three's company for a while.
It was amazing. I genuinely loved it, which I never thought I would. If it seems like a bad idea to live with your best friend and her boyfriend, it's actually not. It can be good. It can be really good.
It's good for me, too, because I had, like, the female companionship, but I had that. So, like, anytime that I was annoyed by the female side, I could go to the male. Anytime I was annoyed by, don't even look at me like that, because it wasn't very often, but there was that one day when I had to drive you to your car. I think that was the only meltdown we've ever had.
That's the only time you can think of that you were pissed off
at me. Like you said, when Barry lived with us, you were kind of MIA for a while.
Yeah.
So I really didn't have, I mean, you were there, but I think I cherished when you were there a little bit more, because you weren't there as much.
Yes.
So.
Well, and we weren't just roommates. We, like, genuinely enjoyed being around each other. And the first year that we lived there, I would actually say, like, the first couple months, we were both just, like, it was the first time we were really on our own. So we were like, what is happening?
Well, I just told Barry, too, the story of the five-minute showers, because the water heat. Well, no, it was overflowing in the kitchen sink. The pipes were backed up.
Our shower water would come up in the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
As you showered.
And we didn't find out until the one day it was overflowing and, like, pouring into the basement as well.
And so we would either go and shower somewhere else.
The gym. There was our gym membership right there.
We actually, that's the only reason we did it. Or one of us would monitor the sink and, like, yell up.
Well, we had that, we have the timer in the bathroom where you could turn it. And I think we just turned it to 5 minutes. Yes. And it was like, that was we'd shower for 5 minutes, like every morning. That was it.
Oh my God. And the house was decorated like an old 70s house.
Absolutely.
So it had like crazy wallpaper, and the wallpaper was like peeling off in mm-hmm. the bathroom.
It still is.
Like what color was the carpet in? Like green?
It was blue, but I still have green carpet in my kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
We ripped up all the carpet. We had this.
But like, it had that mirror wall going up the stairs too. Nothing but mirrors all the way up.
We just like really, we like redid that house together. Yep. And Rachel will be at work and I'll be like, hey, like, do you care if I like paint the upstairs hallway like fire truck red? And she's like, no, go for it. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And so we had like a turquoise wall, a pink wall, a yellow door.
We had mint green.
We were just so eclectic.
Yeah.
And it was just, and not that I didn't love living with Barry, and obviously I was so happy for you, but those first like couple years were just really special.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't even remember what I was going to ask you. Oh, can you talk a little bit about, for people that might be dating or frustrated with the lack of dating, can you just kind of talk about your journey and what you wish you would have known? Because you one time gave me advice on like what you wish you would have done for yourself when you were in your 20s, and it has stuck with me hardcore.
I don't remember that, so I'll try and give the same advice. Since I was young, I just always felt like, and I don't know if it's because my parents, they got married in their early 20s and they're still together. But I just always wanted to find that person that was like my person and like we were going to spend forever together. So I dated one guy through high school and part of college, and like there were so many signs there that I should have just gotten out. Like, but you just keep going back. Like, I truly don't feel that you know until you know. Mm-hmm. You can say you're strong, but I'm pretty strong, but in the moment, like, you're just making decisions based on what your heart feels, not what you know you should do. So I dated him, and then there were a couple, like, in between, and then I had a really long relationship when we first met.
Yeah.
And that one ended, like, as soon as you and I became really close.
Because it was kind of, like, stagnant.
Yeah. So I think I was, like, 24 then. I'm 32 now. I'll put it out there. And then came like the period in my life where it was just like serial dating. Like, it was just like crazy dating, maybe like, I don't know, 3 different dates in a week.
Yeah.
And I was trying, even like the guys, there was nothing in there that was super long term, but, there were a couple that lasted like a couple months. And was always trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Like, I don't know how many times I said to him, like, oh, I really like him. Like, maybe this is the one, blah, blah, blah. And even though in my, like, heart of hearts, I knew they weren't the one, I was trying to, like, make it work.
Yeah.
And I think you don't realize these things until you meet that person that kind of is your missing piece. And, like, for me, that was Barry. But, like, you don't see, like, how you're supposed to be treated and loved until you have it. You know what I mean? One of my favorite movies is Perks of Being a Wallflower. And like in that, they say we accept the love that we think we deserve. And there's so many times that I see that, like people settling for, I don't know what. And like, why are you settling? Like, think more of yourself, like go out and find somebody that like really respects you and deserves you. And, but I would say to anybody, don't settle. Like, do not settle. That's the worst thing you could do. If something does not feel right, keep looking. There's plenty of fish out there in the sea. And honestly, don't be afraid of what people are going to think of you. Like, oh my gosh, she's such a slut. Oh my gosh, this and that. Do you? Like, just go out, do what you want to do, live your life. It's the only way you're going to find what makes perfect sense to you.
You do have such wisdom to share. I don't know if you know that about yourself.
I mean, I don't know.
When you give me advice,
I still consider you know what? You look through life and like, anybody listening, like I said, I'm 32. I'm not old by any means. I don't think I'm super young, but I am young. So I feel like there's still so much to learn. But there is, I've said to you already, because there's different people. We have a big group of friends and everybody's like different ages. And I feel like depending on the age, sometimes some of us get the others better than others do.
Yes.
I think I've said to you, like, from the time I was 18 to 21, it was, like, a certain, like, period in my life. 21 to 24 was another one. 24 to 27 was another one. And by the time I hit 27 to, like, now, things just kind of started to fall into place. I think once you... Your 20s are so crazy. Like, looking back on it, like, you're still young. You're still, like, a kid in your early 20s. And then by the time you hit your mid to late 20s, people expect you to kind of, like, start getting your shit together. But you still feel like having a good time. So by the time you hit your 30s, like, I feel like you've just hit enough roadblocks that you're like, okay, like, I still don't know. I don't have all the answers. I know I don't have all the answers. But I'm starting to figure this thing out and what works and what doesn't. So by the time you, like, get to your 30s, I promise you, I think it does get better. And I think any of my friends in their 40s would say that's even better than your 30s. So just hang in there.
Just hang in there. I also think, if you don't mind me saying, I think you had such a good balance of, like, just having, when I met you, you would have times where it was like, I'm just having fun with this person, which I think there's absolutely, like, no shame in. Versus, like, you had, some of them you had really strong feelings for, and you were so sad when it ended.
Yeah, I can remember calling you and
crying.
I mean, yeah, and I think, I mean, even, not the person that I dated in high school, but the person that I dated in my early 20s, I kind of for a little while pretended I didn't care, like, everything was fine on the outside, meanwhile on the inside, and really, I sabotaged that relationship myself because I wanted out, but I'll never break up with somebody. Like, but then once it ends, I'm like, oh my God, no, why did I do that? But at the same time, so on the inside, I was, like, really upset about it. On the outside, I was like, psh, don't care. And then I think I had rehearsal that night or something for Annie.
Yes.
We were doing Annie at that point.
Yes.
And I went to rehearsal, and it was just, like, finally, like, I was like, you know what? Like, whatever. I think I went and, like, splurged, like, not even kidding, splurged, like, spent, like, $500, $600 just on, like, a brand new wardrobe. And after that, like, I was like, who? It didn't even bother me. Like, it just, time, I always think time is your best friend and your worst friend, because it takes forever sometimes to finally start feeling like yourself again. But at the same time, like, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And it's different for everybody.
You helped me through some pretty shitty breakups. Well, I don't want to be plural about it, but there was one that you really, like...
Oh, yeah.
You were kind of mad at me because I was not a great friend.
But I feel like at that time, and you've said it too, you were afraid to talk to me a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
And I truly think you knew what I would say to you, and you weren't ready to hear it.
Yeah.
So, and I was okay. I mean, was I upset at the time? Yeah, but again, time is your best friend and your worst friend. And
yeah.
I mean, we got through it. We're fine.
We got through it.
We're on the other end.
I never would have thought, like, that was a, not a rough time, but we were just, there was such a disconnect. And then it was, like, literally a year later, you were asking me to be your Mo.
Yeah.
I just want to circle back to that relationship that you spent $500 on.
Oh, yeah.
That, I would say probably a year after Rachel and this person, just for the sake of, like, out of respect, I'm not going to say his
anonymity.
Name.
Anonymity, yeah, no.
But after they broke up, one night we had been drinking and she got really upset that he still had a lot of her DVDs. Like,
I had some pretty good DVDs. What,
say a few. For examples.
Oh my gosh, what's the one? Little Monsters, with, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Howie Mandel and Fred Savage. That was one of them. I think Splash was another one. I'm very into, like, 80s movies, 80s music. And, like, some of these things are very hard to find. And, like, you treasure when you find them.
Yeah.
And he still has them to this day.
Yeah, so one of our other friends... actually called him. How did you find his number? It was still in your phone?
I think I, like, for some reason, I probably, I don't remember it anymore, but I was always really good with phone numbers. I probably truly, like, just remembered it. Or maybe it was in my phone. I would have thought I deleted it, but.
From her cell phone?
Yeah.
And just, like, left him a message and was like, hi, this is Rachel's friend. She just really wants her DVDs back, so.
Return her DVDs!
Yeah. It was, like, a year later. Yeah. So.
I also had, like, board games there, like, from our childhood, like, Mall of Madness and that Dream Phone game. Why I had them, I collect things that, like, have sentimental meaning to me. And, like, I don't know, one night during wine night when you get drunk and you just want to play some Dream Phone, like, why the hell not?
Yeah.
Don't have those anymore either.
Let it out.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just get them when you broke up?
Well, he didn't live close.
Right, I remember that.
And it kind of ended, I don't know that we ended things in person. It might have ended, like, over the phone or God only knows, I don't even remember anymore. So I don't think I really ever saw him after that. So it was kind of like, and I wasn't driving to get that. So I guess if it was really that important, I would have. But he sure as hell wasn't driving to give it to me, so.
Listen, you know who you are if you're listening. Mail her Mall Madness tonight.
I doubt he's listening.
You never know. I actually wouldn't put it past him. All right, so another fun fact about Rachel is that she went back to school later in life. And I know a lot of people can relate to that. So I was just wondering, I know for a long time it was something you always wanted to do. And then it was kind of like one day you woke up and you're like, I'm going to do it. So can you talk about what kind of pushed you and kept you going? Because there were a couple times you, like, wanted to stop. You were frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first day you came back and we, like, crossed off one of the things on your list, remember? Yeah. But can you just talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah. So I had, right out of high school, I actually got a job at Victoria's Secret. It was my, like, first, let's say, big girl job. It was really, like, an after-college job. I was going to Northampton Community College. I went to Northampton Community College for 4 years because I couldn't get my shit together and had no clue what I wanted to do. I think I changed my major 4 or 5 times. And actually, Victoria's Secret turned into a career for me where I moved up throughout the years. And I think I was there like 2005 to 2014, so 9 or 10 years. It was a really long time. And then I actually had some health complications where I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do the hours that they were expecting, and it was a very high volume store. So I left, went to another retailer, and then from there, it wasn't a good fit. So I went to another retailer, and at that point, the hours were different and I was feeling healthy again. And so I decided to start because I knew in the future, if I were to have a family at all, retail wasn't where I wanted to be working nights and weekends. It works for some, and I sit there and give kudos to the people that it works for because I don't know how they do it, so props to you.
Props.
Yeah. But I knew, like, I don't want to go to the football games. I want to be present at the baseball games. I want to be present at the cheering competitions, and with that schedule, I knew I couldn't be. And I had wanted to go back to school for a while.
Your children are going to be very athletic.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Unless they have Barry's chest bone, which doesn't allow them, but that's a different story.
What? Wait.
Barry, instead of his sternum, instead of going in, it actually pops out.
So he can't play sports?
Well, he couldn't play contact sports because, like, if somebody had, like, hit him in his chest, it had a higher probability of, like, breaking that bone. And, like, because it was inverted, the way that the bones would shatter. I don't know. You'd have to ask him for the, like, technical.
Great. Thanks a lot, Barry. Aspect. Rachel's daughter can't be a cheerleader.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think that would be okay.
All right. Anyways.
So, yeah, life just didn't allow me to for a while. And I was working full time at that point and making a decent income. So I was like, why? But then I decided I did want to go back to school, went back for human resources at Muhlenberg. They have an awesome adult program there. I feel like I'm ever giving everybody free advertisements.
Yeah, you're
tonight. Welcome,
Wesco School.
Also,
speaking of free ads, can we just talk about how much I love Twisted Tea?
I know, it's pretty good.
So refreshing. If you're looking for your spring, summer bev, get out there.
Twisted Tea.
All right. Bring it back from the ads.
So yeah, it was just time. I did it. I think at the time, I think everybody worried. I think it's a big worry, the cost of tuition, and obviously it is because it's a national topic all the time. But I kind of just, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I took out mostly loans. Lucky enough, I got some grants and things, and but most of it was done on loans. Luckily for me, like, it was only 2 years, and it really didn't add up to what some people have, and it's a drop in the bucket. But I knew, like, you just do it. You know what I mean? Like, when you have your eyes on something, and it's something that's meant something to you for so long, you do whatever it takes. So it was like, all right, you know what? I've got to take out student loans. I'm going to take out student loans. That's what I have to do. And same thing, like you were saying, you know, there were times that I was just so frustrated. You're working full time, you're going to school, you're writing these papers, you're reading, you're still taking care of your family and your social life and trying to be present and all of that. And somehow you just, like, make it through. But I did put, I remember I put my syllabus for, like, each class on the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a syllabus. It was a list of the classes I had to take to graduate in each semester, which ones were which. And then every time I got done, we had, like, a ceremony. We'd go into the kitchen and we'd cross off the class that I just finished, and it was, like, another one down. And then before you knew it, like, you were at my graduation. I think I even said to you, I was crying. I'm emotional over everything. I cry over everything. But I was like, I can't believe it really went so fast. Like, when you're in it, it feels like it takes forever. But then, like, you look back and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I'm done.
I remember you come up to me and you're like, I just remember the first time we crossed it off the fridge. I loved it. Well, I'm proud of you. Your boss ass bitch. Now she has this amazing job in the field she wanted to be in. And yeah, thanks Muhlenberg.
Yeah, absolutely. They have a great program if anybody's looking.
There you go. So one more topic I wanted to cover is your wedding coming up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lots of people are getting married right now. It seems to be a popular thing to do. You're close.
Yeah.
So
78 days.
What's been, like, your biggest like helping comfort or tool throughout this time for you?
Like, what's helped me the most?
Yeah.
So another shameless plug. Actually, what has helped tremendously, and if you don't use it, I think everybody probably does, but the Knot app is absolutely fantastic because they give you a checklist. And without that checklist, I probably wouldn't have had a clue as to where to start. So Barry and I sit down once a month and see what's on the checklist for the month, and we go through it. But everybody keeps saying to me, they're like, oh, you're really, like, getting close. You must be, like, stressed. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, because I really haven't been that. There's been things that have come up that have agitated me, I will not lie. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't have that stress yet, so I kind of keep waiting for, like, the shoe to drop, and it hasn't yet. So just let me know if I'm still too far out. Like, is it coming? Let me be prepared. But I don't know.
What could you be doing?
Well, I feel like there should be more to do.
I just triggered you.
I feel like there should be more to do. And I kind of sit there and I'm like, maybe I'm not doing something I should. But then I look at the checklist and everything's crossed off. And I talk to my sister-in-law who just married my brother. And I'm like, nope. But at the same time, like, I feel like I'm missing something here. I don't know.
What was in your May advent calendar? Or no, it's April. Do you remember?
The fireball.
Oh, right.
Take a shot for your birthday.
Yes. One other thing I forgot I wanted to ask you about is one of the things that really bond Rachel and I is that we're both, like I said, from Caddy. And I feel like, you know, we're not people that, like, wanted to necessarily, like, stay and live there. I mean, maybe, you never know for you. But
we may end up back there.
Yeah, but We also, like, have never been we love the small, we love Cass, we love all the people, we love that we know so many of, like, the same guys that we know are, like, our uncles. We call people, like, aunts and uncles that we're not even related to, because we pretty much grew up with the same people. So, I don't know, what do you say to, like, the small town haters, or, like, people that are maybe feeling that, like, I want to get out and never come back kind of thing?
I think you do feel that way as a kid, because especially in Caddy, I think I graduated with like 141 or something. So they're small schools. And you kind of feel that way. I felt that way in high school and middle school because everybody knows everything and everybody knows everything about you. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out and never look back and I'm never coming back here. But as you grow up, like, there's something to be said about small towns. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice to know that your kids are safe and it's nice to know that people are watching out for you and, you know, you have neighbors and friends and people that you've known since you were younger that you can kind of turn to. And Barry and I kind of talk because we're starting to look at buying a bigger house. And Caddy's one of the places that we keep looking because it's a quiet town. There's a lot to be said for it. We know we felt safe there growing up. And I say to him a lot, he was in the Air Force. So he kind of traveled to some different places and lived in North Dakota for 6 years. And I always say to him, like, I've never lived anywhere else. I'd really like to just like pack up and go someplace and live there.
You want to go to North Dakota?
Hell no. Not okay. After like what I've heard from him. But like, you know, just like I've never lived anywhere else. I've never experienced that. I've always been in the Lehigh Valley, somewhere in the Lehigh Valley. So, but at the same, he's like, I came back. Like there's a reason people leave and they come back to this area. There's something to be said about it. So at the same time, it is really nice to like, I mean, the Lehigh Valley, too, it's big, but at the same time, like, it has that just feel to it, you know? I don't know how to describe it.
Someone from, like, the Lehigh Valley Council hire you to talk about how much you love this area? Lehigh Valley.
I wish. If you'd like to pay me, I'd gladly take another paycheck in.
Contact her.
Yeah.
All right. I have some closing cues for you. Chug that drink. Chug a lug. Get it up. Get it in there. Get it in your system. All right. Question number one, what is one thing you love about yourself?
I love my laugh. A lot of people, like, at first I was a little self-conscious about it because it could be pretty loud and obnoxious at times, depending on how hard I'm laughing. But everywhere that I've worked, at least 5 people comment on it. And I actually just went back and visited, an old employer over Easter break just to say hi. And one of the employees said to me, they were like, that laugh, like, it's so contagious. I just need to, like, record it. So I'd say my laugh.
It's contagious, but you also, Rachel, like, literally throws her head back like a crow or like a seagull. Oh,
see?
A seagull. You're like, ah! Okay, I can't believe I just did that. It's not like that.
I hope not.
No, but you literally, like, she throws her body back.
It just feels so good to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I said to Barry, I have these, like, very, you know, I have these very weird thoughts that come to me sometimes. I'm like, I wonder what, like, the physiological, like, reason is behind laughing, because it just, like, happens. You, like, your brain tells you to laugh, obviously, but, like, it's such an odd thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's so happy and, like, it's such, like, when there's laughter, there's happiness. And it's such a great feeling to just let out, like, a belly laugh.
Yeah. Look that up and circle back.
Yeah, I will.
Have you ever seen Galaxy Quest?
When the
aliens are like,
ha 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 ha. You talk about it all the time, so I just know it through you at this point.
Okay. Second question is, finish the sentence, if women ruled the world, blank.
So I feel like I cheated because I listened to your podcast.
Oh my God.
But I didn't remember what they were, but I did remember that one. So I know this podcast is all about women empowerment and the woman. And I totally feel that, and I totally get it, and I totally believe in it.
What's the but that's coming?
But at the same time, I feel like you can't have just one population rule or run anything.
But that's what's happening right now.
It is, but hopefully there's a change coming. There's a lot of changes that still need to be made, but a lot of things that have changed. There's a lot of things that make me nervous as far as, like, well, let's not get into politics. But I don't know. I just, there's good in everything. So, and I don't think I would have believed that if, again, I'll toot his horn, but, like, if I hadn't met Barry, He is one of the most giving, wonderful people I have ever met. And without his support in a lot of things, I don't know where I would be. He's so supportive. He's always, I mean, even on the days where I say out loud, you know what, like, I feel really fat today, or I feel really just like ugly, this outfit doesn't look right, he's always there to be like, what are you talking about? Like, and just be a cheerleader. So I think there's women that could be very vindictive and very bitchy. I think there's men that can be power hungry and doing the wrong thing. I think there's evil in anything. I think you just have to find the good ones and let them kind of take over, find the good in the world, because it's out there no matter what. So I don't think if women ran the world, obviously women are pretty badass and strong, but I don't think I'd want to see an all women driven world. I like the diversity. I think there's a lot to still be done with cultures and races and colors and genders, but I think the more diverse we get, the better a world will be. So bring on the women, the men, the different races, different origins, different nations. I think everybody needs to be represented and their voices be heard, and what a wonderful world it would be.
That's my slow clap, in case you wanted to join in. I mean, I'm listening to your speech, and I'm here for it. Okay, well, nobody's ever answered it like that before, so thank you for being unique. Yeah. Thanks for being on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I always want to shorten and say potty, but I'm saying it in my mind, like P-O-D-D-Y.
Right, right.
But it sounds weird.
Yeah, it makes me feel weird inside.
Okay. Don't do that. I won't say it. Thanks for being on my podcast, and, you know, maybe we'll have Rachel back for, like, episode 34 after you're married.
We could just do, like, a special episode. I mean, you're going to be there. We'll do a special episode from, like, the hotel room the night before.
Like, as you're walking down the aisle.
You can all join in on my bachelorette party.
Oh, that's a great idea. Maybe I'll bring you guys. That's actually a great
idea. Anybody that's easily offended, you may not want to listen, because censors will probably, there will be none.
It's like a great idea, but also the worst idea.
Yeah,
Let you know. I'll let you know about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, hope you're all enjoying the Twisted Tea somewhere. This has been 2 weeks in a row. I'm also still taking many recommendations. I'd love to interview some ladies I don't know. I'd love to get to know people of different cultures. I just want to get in there. So holler at me. Follow Rachel on Instagram. Her handle used to be Here Comes Your Boyfriend when she let me make it, but she changed it. Now it's just Ray Butts.
R-A-E.
Yeah, R-A-E. All right, well, Rachel, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right. That was awkward.
Thanks. Thanks for being on Ladies of the LV.
On behalf of everyone at Ladies of the LV, and by everyone I mean just me and Amy, don't be salty, Amy, I said your name. I would really like to thank you for listening, and if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and subscribe for future episodes, because we're going to have a lot of badass females on here. And by a lot, I mean hundreds, maybe even millions. Can anyone tell me the exact population of the Lehigh Valley? I don't know why I have to be so aggressive with numbers. Oh my goodness. Anyway, also, please feel free to visit veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, where we have the podcast, and more blogs and fun things for you to read while you're sipping on a glass of champagne or the bottle. No judgment. We all do what we need to do.